Good evening, everyone. It's singing a little chorus. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Get everybody coming in from the lobby.
Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before.
Amen. Let's open up our hymnals to hymn number 617. 617, I'll fly away. Let's all stand. We'll sing the first and last verses. Make sure we keep this one going.
Some glad morning when her life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Amen. Had fun with that one, huh? I'd like to ask Brother Kevin Chase if he would open with a prayer, please.
Our Father, we do thank you so much again for just what you've done throughout this week. Words cannot describe how good and how great you are. Yeah. Thank you for the men and women and the boys and girls that came and made decisions, and Father, our preachers that came, and Father, really just gave us so many good things to think about and to do. And I pray that if there be anyone here that has doubts of their salvation or does not know for sure they're going to heaven, that they would make that decision to trust Jesus Christ tonight. And please be with every part of this service. May it just be a blessing and a joy to us. And of course, Father, be pleasing to you. And we'll thank you for it all. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.
Come all Christians, be committed to the service of the Lord. Make your lives for Him more fitted, tune your hearts with one accord. Come into His courts with gladness, all your sacred vows renew. Turn away from sin and sadness, be transformed with life anew. Of your time and talents give now, they are gifts from God above, to be used by Christians freely, to proclaim His wondrous love. Come again to serve the Savior, tithes and offerings will you bring. In your work with Christ find favor, and with joy His praises sing. Come in praise and adoration, all who on Christ
Christ's name believe. Worship Him with consecration. Grace and love will you receive. For His grace give Christ the glory. For the Spirit and the Word. And repeat the gospel story until all His name has heard. Come in praise and adoration, all who on Christ's name believe. Worship Him with consecration, grace and love will you receive.
Chase, and we welcome you to the evening service here at Berean Baptist Church. And do we have anyone visiting with us tonight? First time visitors? Didn't see anyone. All right. Well, we have a couple things to announce, and I have to announce this. Today is the official anniversary for Sharon Benfield that she came to live with her new mom and dad from Coldwater State Home 48 years ago. Amen. All right. Was that worth $20? I told her that there was an announcement fee, but I guess we'll waive that this time. So anyway, good to have you here tonight, and praise the Lord. Let me give you some announcements. Right after the evening service, we will have our third quarter business meeting. So don't forget that. The new revival fires are in the bookstore. Don't forget that. No classes for Berean Baptist Academy tomorrow. Don't forget that. Moms with Tots will meet on Tuesday from 11 o'clock till 1 o'clock. Friday, this is a change in the schedule. Friday, the volleyball team will play in the first round of MAX against Emmanuel Baptist from Corona. And we will give you a place and a time that the game will be. That you'll receive that by Wednesday. So we'll have that information later on. Sunday, next Sunday that is, October 18th, all teen and adult Sunday school classes will be in the auditorium to hear Brother Tim Lapish, who is with the Fellowship Track League out of Lebanon, Ohio. And these people are very serious about getting tracks all over the world. Since 1978, over 4 billion tracks have been printed and shipped from their location. And they're shipped for free to churches in other countries and all over. And they now print in 85 different languages. So we're excited about Brother Lapish coming, and had this scheduled for several months when I knew that I was going to be gone. So be in prayer about that. And he will be preaching then not only Sunday school, but also Sunday morning and Sunday night. All right. Then we have our faith promise cards. And if you have not filled one of these out and you would like to, please raise your hand. We will get one to you. The ushers have those. We did this on Thursday. And if you'd like to fill one of these out, that'll be fine. And you can just put it in the offering plate. But again, the idea is to, by faith, ask God what He'd have you to give for our missions program, program for the church and for the next year. And so wonderful, wonderful way to support missions. We have done it for years, not only here, but in other places. And praise the Lord for faith promise. All right. Pray for Ed Tedder, who is having a procedure for pain, and that'll be done tomorrow. So remember Ed in prayer. Jim Bailey, of course, his radiation treatments, be in prayer for him. And then Gary Dice has, as I mentioned this morning, some very critical heart issues, and I know he would appreciate your prayer. So I hope you'll pray for him and ask the Lord to help with that. All right, let's sing.
Let's open up our hymnals to hymn number 269. Hymn number 269, that beautiful name. We'll sing the first and the last verses. Now the ushers are seeking for those numbers, okay?
I know of a name, a beautiful name, that angels brought down to earth.
whispered it low one night long ago to a maiden of lowly birth. That beautiful name, that beautiful name, from sin has power to
bow in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on our offering this evening. Father, we do thank you for this Lord's Day, and we thank you for the great week and missions conference and all that was given and sacrificed and hours put in to be a blessing to the missionaries, and we thank you for that. But Father, the work must go on here, and so we do ask that you'll bless this offering tonight and help us to continue to give tithes and offerings, and we thank you in advance for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you.
was just thinking about that song, how we want to give our lives to Jesus and let him take control. And I was thinking about that, and Pastor had mentioned something about my wife and I and helping out with the church functions and leading songs and taking care of the schedule and everything on Thursday. And I was thinking about that, and I understood that, you know, as part of my family, we're not the kind of people that like to be up in front. We like to kind of do things in the behind the scenes. Amen. But God was telling me that, hey, you can do this.
Amen.
And it's a very nervous time for me when I'm up here doing this. It's not something that I'm real comfortable with. But the thing is that many times God takes you out of your comfort zone.
Amen.
And puts you in a place where you have to trust in him. Yeah. To take care of those things. So, see, now I'm all out of place here. All right, let's see here. I need 567. 567. The Lord is good.
Amen.
Let's go through this twice. Let's sing this twice. The Lord is good, tell it wherever you go. The Lord is good, tell it that others may know. Tell of his blessings and tell of his love. Tell how he's coming from heaven above. The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. The Lord is good. Tell it that others may know. Tell of his blessings and tell of his love. Tell how he's coming from heaven above. The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. And then for our last number for tonight is 498. Hymn number 498, Whiter Than Snow. Let's all stand. We'll sing the first and the second as the last.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every
number from the Michael Poor family.
Daniel, preacher.
appreciate that. I believe that's a Pat's the Pirate song, isn't it? Out off the one of the Pat's Pirate tapes, CDs, whatever they're called. Amen. One of the eight tracks, one of the records. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes, if you would please. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. This is a verse that I've taught on or used or something like that several times in chapel and in our Christian school. It's a very good verse for young people and especially children in school, but I'm not really using it. I might use some of it for that tonight, but it is an excellent challenge to all of us in light of this morning's message on opportunity. What an amazing thing that God could ever use us. It really does amaze me that God can use me. I've thought of it often. I know me. I know what I was. I know what I still am. And I'm still amazed that God could ever use me. And it's a blessing to be used. I gave the illustration this morning about the young man down in Shreveport that when we went down there nearly 20 years ago and took the church there, Indian Hills Baptist Church, a young man who really rough, I mean rough guy that grew up in church but kind of rejected most of what he heard. And he had been saved but really wasn't attending much, had a little ponytail. And make a long story short, he started coming. We started having activities with our church on Sunday nights, volleyball, and that got a lot of people in. It was funny how that worked. We had food and volleyball, and that brought them in, boy, let me tell you. And this young man started coming. He started being more faithful, and I saw him at the altar several times, and God just started working in his life and his heart. And again, he went on to Bible college and became the pastor of that church now. And I just think of there was opportunity, you know, opportunity in his life, opportunity in our lives to reach him. And you know, don't look down on opportunities. I think of Kathy Morin a lot, and you know, she's always excited about missions conference. She's excited about next year's missions conference. Why? Because it's an opportunity. She has an opportunity now. She has a whole year to raise money for next year. And you know, I hope every mission group leader, but I hope every participant in a mission group would look at it that way. You have an opportunity. We had a lot of fun last week. It was wonderful. And we saw some great things happen and so many blessings. And people gave unbelievably. People, I mean, just really amazing giving last week. But it didn't just start last week. It was all year long. Because we had an opportunity. Take advantage. You know, you say, there's no way I could give so much at one time. Then start giving it now for next year. We support, my wife and I, for I don't know how many years now, we support all the mission groups so much every week. If we did what we did and tried to do that right at the last for a mission group, it'd be tough for us to come up with that kind of money. But every week, we just put in so much to Kathy Morin's group. We put in so much to Brother Chase's group. We put in so much to the Poor's group every week. And, you know, after a year, that adds up pretty well. And it's a blessing. And so we get to watch and enjoy all of that. And so many times, we just don't take advantage. Well, here's another taking advantage of an opportunity. In Ecclesiastes 10:10, the Bible says, if the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. And so we have, and this isn't talking about an iron that you iron clothes with, amen? It's talking about an iron that would be put on a stick, and in the iron that we know of, it's an axe head, and it would go on a stick that would be used as a handle for an axe, and that iron would be put on. It would be put on to stay, and then they would chop down trees or cut up wood or split wood or whatever for whatever the project was, and so here it says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, wetting the edge is sharpening the axe, then must he put to more strength. So if the axe is not sharpened, this person that is using this iron or this axe he's going to have to work a little extra hard. He's going to have to work hard to get it to cut because it is a dull axe. And so I just want to talk to you about those three words right there at the beginning of verse 10. If the iron. If the iron. That's the title tonight. And I hope it'll be a challenge to you. Father, help us now to understand your word and help us especially, Lord, to do something because of it. I pray you'll challenge us. Every person is pictured with those three words. Every person's life is pictured in those three words. And so I pray we'll see ourselves tonight and we'll realize there's something we can do. There's something we should do. Please speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I love the honesty and the simplicity of the scripture. The axe head, for example, it's very practical. And people that read this that have ever chopped anything down, cut down trees or chopped wood or split wood or anything, they easily can understand what the Bible is saying there. I mean, an axe head or this iron is used in various ways in the Bible. And the whole idea here is, and I want you to get this tonight, there is no excuse for not getting the job done. Now, that's what I see in verse 10. Because here's iron. This is iron that is stronger than wood. This is iron that is able to cut wood. This is iron that no doubt about it, I mean, it is going to be able to split wood, cut wood, deal with wood in some way. It is going to last and outlast the wood that it is being used to cut or to work on. And so we have iron here. If the iron, there's no excuse for not getting the job done. No excuse. You say, oh, yeah, but wait a minute here. It's talking about a dull axe. Well, if you have a dull axe, it doesn't say quit. Nowhere does it say set it aside and go take a nap. Nowhere does it say, well, give up. Nowhere is it used as an excuse just because it's dull. It does not say that we have an excuse. It says that the iron is still used. If the iron, and I love it's such a simple truth here that we start off with by way of introduction, and that is, we don't have any excuses for not getting the job done. Amen. Now, whatever our job is, we have a job. We have Lenawee County, as Brother Stewart reminds me as we pray and we talk often. You know, we have a whole county, 100-some thousand people that need to hear the gospel. There's no excuse for us not getting the, well, you know, preacher, there's not as many numbers going out there. There's not as much time. There's not, but wait a minute. It doesn't say that the guy said, oh, it's dull, and therefore I'll just quit. It just says you got to work a little harder. And I'll be honest with you, the less amount of people that go soul winning, it's going to take longer. It just is going to take, it's going to take harder work. You know, if the iron, I mean, you have a bus route and it takes so much time and the Baileys so faithfully year after year after year after year, they've worked that bus route and they've worked hard on that bus route. And somebody, well, you know, they're not able to do that now. Well, but who's going to step up? You say, yeah, but I'm not like the Baileys. I'm not as good as the Baileys. Well, bless God, you may just have to work harder. But there's no excuse. Just because Jim is ill now and he's not able to do the bus route at this time, they can't do what they did. That's no excuse. Well, oh, I guess we'll just have to stop running the bus. No, that's not an excuse. There are no excuses. There's iron. In this verse, there is iron. And nowhere is God saying that's your excuse. You have a dull axe, and therefore, no. Look, the axe head here is very much like our ability. It's very much like us. And that's why I entitled this, If the Iron. I'm going to show you four ways about this iron. There's still no excuse. Still no excuse for not getting the job done. And this axe head is just like us. I mean, really, it's just like our ability. You know, you have to understand that not all axe heads are the same. Amen. I mean, there's some that are sharp. There's some that are dull. There's some that are rusty. There's some, you know, they're not all the same. Just like you and I, we're not the same. We're all in a different place in our Christian life. We're all different types of people. I use this a lot in school. For there are some students that they're not going to make an A. They're not going to make straight A's. They're not. Most of the time, they're going to do their very best, and they're going to end up with B's. That's okay if they're doing their best. Amen. Amen. I mean, we should not expect somebody to do something that God hadn't given them the ability to do. There's some folks here, you will never get behind the pulpit and sing a song because we won't let you. No. you're not going to do that because God has not given you the ability to sing. But that doesn't mean you can't sing out there. That does not mean, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
That's right.
And so whether you ever get up in front of here or over there or in the choir or whatever it may be, that does not give you an excuse to not sing and praise the Lord and shout and rejoice over the things that God has done. There's you know, not all axe heads are the same and not all people are the same. When Mary anointed Jesus, the Bible says she hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. Amen. I mean, she didn't do what somebody else could, but she did what she could. Do you understand that when it all comes down to what we did for Jesus, we do whatever we can do. Period. You cannot do more than what you can do. Now, I'll show you here in a minute that you may not be doing all you can do, but she hath done what she could. You know, you say, well, you know, I'm not so-and-so, and I can't do, but listen to me. Mary could have said, oh, well, I'm not Joseph of Arimathea who gave Jesus his tomb. No, but Mary, you did what you could. She'll not answer to God for what Joseph of Arimathea did. She answered to God for what she could do. Are you listening? Nicodemus, do you understand the spices that Nicodemus provided for the embalming of Jesus? Do you understand how much that cost? Mary couldn't buy those spices. There's no way. She could not afford that kind of a thing, but Nicodemus could. He provided. He paid. He was a wealthy man. You know what? She's not. Now she could have said, you know, I'm not Joseph of Arimathea. I can't provide a tomb and I can't provide the spices like Nicodemus. I guess I'll just do nothing. No. Listen to me. That's the average Christian. Well, I can't do what they can do and I can't do what they can do. And there's folks here, you won't get in the bus ministry because you can't do what the Baileys do. Yeah, but can you do what you can? And where the Baileys have done this for years and years and years, and you know, maybe it only takes them 30 whacks with the axe, and it may take you 60. The key is not how many whacks it takes. The key is, did the job get done? That's what really matters, you know? I mean, Mary could easily have said, you know, I think I'll just back up and do nothing because I'm not Peter who will preach at Pentecost and I'm not Paul who was a great apostle and went in on the missionary journeys and I'm not Philip who was in a revival and God took him to the desert to the Ethiopian eunuch. And she could have said, you know, I'm not any of those people, so I'll just back off. That's what we do. But notice it says, if the iron. This is iron. That means it has potential to do something. That means it can be used. That means that it can cut wood. And in every case that we could come up with, well, I'm not Joseph, I'm not Nicodemus, I'm not Peter, I'm not Paul, I'm not Philip, I'm not Moses, I'm not David. In every case, here's what you do what you can do. That's what they did. Peter preached Pentecost. He did what he could. Amen. Joseph of Arimathea, what can I do? Jesus is being crucified. I'll give this to him. That's what he can do. Isn't it amazing how God always has it worked out? That there are people out there that can do what has to be done? Just the crucifixion of Jesus alone. Come on. Simon comes and helps carry the cross. They're just, boy, we're lucky those people were there. No, they're people that could do what they could do. Could Simon buy the tomb? No. Could Simon, could he provide the spices like Nicodemus? No, I don't think so. Well, what can Simon do? He can help carry the cross. Hey, listen to me. What if Mary looks around and says, you know what, I'm not sharp like the rest of the people. I'm not able to do what they can do. Wait a minute, somebody has to do what you can do. Amen. One of the most exciting things as a pastor many, many years ago, God told me, made it so clear through his word and prayer, and that is we have everything we need right here to do what we're supposed to do. That is such an awesome thing. You know, Brother Tim, seriously, when we think about our budget, we know what we need to do, and it comes down to praying. See, I prayed for budgets that we had no idea because we had no people. When we started our church, we had no idea. Well, we have to rent a building. We have to do this. We have to do that. And as God started bringing people in, it was like, okay, whatever we need to do, it's out there. And you're looking out at people that, you know, they could have all said, well, I'm not rich. I can't do much. I don't have the money that so-and-so, and I don't have the money that... Yeah, but it's not you giving what so, and it's you doing what God tells you to do and what you can do. Amen. In every bus route we need to run, we have the people to do it right here. Wow, that's exciting to me. Every improvement, every expenditure we need to make, that I mean we're supposed to do, it's here. In the Moran Mission Group is enough money next year. It's so exciting to me. I like Kathy. I like it when she says, yay! Because in that group, and who's in there now and who will be in there this time next year, there is the means, whether it's reaching in, pulling out money, or whether it's a bake sale, or somebody, some lady, you know, I can't do much, but I can bake some cookies. Amen.
Amen.
It's there for next year.
Amen.
It's all there. But you know, here's what messes it up. I can't do what they can do. I won't do anything. And then guess what? It doesn't get done. Everything we're supposed to do at Berean Baptist Church is available with us. Every talent, everything. You say, well, there's... I just... Listen to me. If the iron... It's iron. There's potential. I want to show you four types of iron tonight. Every one of those types, every type of iron that the Bible talks about has potential. It's iron. And please get this. Every type is needed to get the job done. If we have a whole woods of trees that we need to cut down, And we look around and everybody has an axe that has iron on top, on the shaft. And it's an axe head. Do you understand that you know, there's going to be some folks that are going to have, that iron's not all the same. But everybody has iron. And I'm just telling you, folks, we have a whole woods to cut down. And so, you know, along comes Brother Ray and he says, well, you know, my iron, it's not very sharp. Well then, brother, you better work hard. Right? Amen. Amen. Because there might be 30 that's not very sharp. And so all 30 are going to sit down and say, oh, we'll just watch you. No. The truth of the matter is, he can cut trees down. With dull iron. It just takes more work. That's what the Bible says here. four types, all have potential, all are needed, all are important, and the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. This is talking about our physical strength. It's talking about our time. It's talking about our talent. It's talking about our money, our treasure. It's talking about all of that. Four types. Number one, and that is this, if the iron be blunt. That's what the text is talking about. If the iron be blunt. That's a dull axe, a dull axe head. No excuse. He's not saying if the iron be blunt, go take a nap. If the iron be blunt, quit. He's not saying that. He's not giving an excuse. He simply says this. He says, put to more strength.
Amen.
That's what he said. If the iron is dull, if the iron is blunt, then you're gonna have to work a little harder. Take your dull iron, and it takes you 60 strokes to cut down the tree, but the sharp iron takes 30 strokes. The key is not who did it first. The key is, did it get cut down? The key is never going to be, well, how fast and how well? And the key is going to be, did you get the job done? You did what you could. I guarantee sucking your thumb isn't going to get the job done. Griping and complaining is not going to get the job done. What will get the job done is exactly what Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, and that is you must put to more strength. And the key is cutting the tree down. Now the goal is to cut a lot of trees down. But the whole idea, well, I can't do as much as so-and-so, or it takes me longer, or, well, it's harder for me. Those are all silly, ridiculous excuses when the goal is get the trees cut down.
Amen.
As a team, together, get them cut down. And so we have folks here tonight who would say, you know what, this iron's kind of dull. You know, I didn't go to Bible college. I don't have training. I don't know how to sing. I can't do this or I can't do that. But none of that's an excuse to just do nothing.
Amen.
I gave an illustration of a man who came out here for the last 2 months and pulled the vines out of this planter out here. I don't know if he can sing or not. He doesn't talk a whole lot. He doesn't have a lot to say. Never has. But he said, what can I do to help? And so he came out here, and evening after evening after evening, he parked out here by the drive. He walked over here, and he started digging these vines. I'll be honest with you. I looked at the vines, and I said, oh, man, what a pain. There were not only vines in there. There were thorns and thistles and your friend, poison ivy. Now, I'm not saying the guy's dull. I'm just saying that he found something that he could do. And he just kept doing it.
Amen.
Now, could somebody else, some young guy, got in there and done it in half the time? I don't know. All I know is every evening, many evenings, I saw the van, about an hour, and then I saw a wheelbarrow or a cart, and he's going out to the dumpster, and there's a whole bunch of vines going in it. Well, you know, if I'd have brought my rototiller, praise God for rototillers. But, you know, he didn't have a rototiller. What did he have? I think he had a little shovel and gloves on his hands. What's the key? Well, the vines all got taken out. And somebody, instead of making excuses, somebody just said, you know what? It may take me a long time, but I'm going to do it. Are you all listening?
Amen.
We make a lot of silly excuses, you know? You know, for somebody, for example, singing, you say, well, I have a hard time singing. Then you need to practice longer. Some folks, they don't have to. It just happens. They just sing. You know, it's very natural. A lot of times I think of Craig, and I try to sit close to Craig when we're learning a new song because he seems to just pick it up. I struggle. It's hard. I have to learn the song. I have to look at it. I have to work at it. It's just not natural to me. You know, Brother Dave is Dave gets it. I mean, a lot of times he's right. I try to position myself. You know, move. You know, I want to be by. You know, and I try to get where I'm by people that it's just if I hear it, I get it. You say, well, you're really stupid. No, I'm just dull in that area. It doesn't come natural to me. Once I got it, I got it. But it takes me a little longer. It's a little tougher. You know, some folks are like that with school. You know, you have to study harder. It used to drive me nuts, these, especially girls with thick glasses. It's always like that, you know. You talk about, boy, I was doing my homework all night long, and they say, oh, it took me 5 minutes. Man. But it was no excuse for me to say, oh, I didn't get my homework done because it took too long. They don't buy that. But it took me longer than it took them. That's not fair. No, that's just how it is. Because that's how we are. None of us are the same. We're different. And some people, you know, in order to teach, they have to study harder. They just have to study harder to be able to teach the class. Other people, oh, it's just so simple. Some people, you know, to play an instrument, they had to work real hard and they work hard at it. It's hard for them. And others, they just seem so simple. Somebody goes to college and they get done in 4 years. Somebody else goes, it takes them five. Do you suppose their diploma is worth less than the one that took four? Same diploma. Doesn't matter how long it takes, as long as you get it done, right? Okay, so let's recognize there's some dull iron out there. Again, we're not saying you're dull, we're just saying there's some folks it just takes more effort. Some folks on the job, the key thing is we're after the results, right? Well, some folks it takes twice the effort. Same way with the ministry, same way with business. There's always the underdog. There's always the dull iron. But I know a lot of dull iron that's seen great success. You know why? Because they just had to work harder. It's okay. Put to more strength. You say today, well, I'm not qualified. You're qualified because you are iron. You just may have to work a little bit harder. The widow who gave her mite. We know the story, the widow's mite. That wasn't much, and yet God said she gave more than anyone else.
That's right.
Well, how did she? She gave all.
Amen.
She gave all. You have to understand, Berean Baptist Church is not financed by the rich people. Berean Baptist Church is financed by people who put to more strength. But that's because God in heaven knows that there's no millionaires at Berean Baptist Church, and God has to touch the heart of someone who maybe doesn't make a whole lot, but say, you're going to have to give more. You say, yeah, and I'm broke. No, you're not. No, you're not, because it's impossible to outgive God. You can't do it. You do whatever God says to do. I guarantee you'll never be broke. You might be close, and you might have to pray in the next meal. You just do whatever God tells you to do. I learned it at the Bill Rice Ranch on our way down to Bible college, and we had $26, $25.85 or something in our checking account. And we were at the Bill Rice Ranch with the teenagers from our church, and we were on our way to Bible college. And I mean, that was all we had left in our checking account. And I'm getting ready to start Bible college. And I went down there and I met a young man that was going to Bible college himself, and he was telling me about his needs. And I said to my wife, I said, honey, right after a service, I said, write this guy a check. And she goes, oh, we have a lot of fun. And she says, oh. And she says, how much? And I said, $25. Oh, honey, do you know that that's pretty much all we have? I said, yeah, isn't that great? And she wrote the check. Never gripe, never complain. You say, what'd you do? I got fat. When we left Bible college, I was bigger than I was when I went. God does take care of us. We lived in a brand new house part of the time during Bible college. Oh, yeah, we had a house with frogs in it, but that was one story. But we lived in a brand new house part of the time in Bible college. We lived in a brand new house in Bible college and at the same time had no food in our cupboards. And God provided. Amen. It's not me. It's just, what do you do? Well, you put two more strengths. Sometimes it's prayer strength, but if you don't have much, what do you have? The widow just put it all in. And God took care of her. People who put to more strength. That's what happened. That's what Berean Baptist Church is all about. It's just people putting to more strength. Quit making excuses. Quit making excuses. So, number one, if the iron be blunt. Number two, okay, what if the iron be sharp? If the iron be sharp. Now, the Bible doesn't say here that it's sharp. It says it's dull. But obviously, since there is a dull iron, there must be sharp iron too. Doesn't that just make sense? Right. So the axe with a sharp blade, wow, that guy could probably cut down the tree in 30 strokes instead of 60. That's, you know, somebody with a high IQ, school is a lot easier. Right? Sure, we have people like that. They, you know, just school seems easy. Everything seems easy. Reading seems easy. English even, well, maybe. But, right? So if the iron be blunt, you got to work harder. But if the iron's sharp, it's a lot easier. Somebody who's physically stronger, the job's easier. Somebody who's musically talented, the song comes easier. Are you listening? If the iron be sharp, well, when he cuts down his tree, the guy with the dull iron is only half done. Isn't that good? Yeah. So I'm cutting down my tree with my sharp iron, because I'm real sharp, and Brother Dave is cutting down his tree with the dull iron, and I get done first. Yeah. And so what do? Well, I kick back in my recliner, get me a glass of tea and some Doritos. Non-diet time. Right? Bzz, wrong. Because the Bible says, unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And so God's doing the accounting. Are you listening? So while Brother Dave is out there chopping away, he just got half a tree done. I just finished my tree. I can't relax. I need to work as hard as he's working. Why? Because double is required of me because I have the sharp iron. So here we are, you know. We're all qualified. You may, now again, I'm not telling who's who or what's what. In some areas, some are one way. In other areas, others are other way. But you know what you are. I'm going to tell you, sharp iron, you know, a young person, I use this in school all the time. If you can make A's, you better make A's.
That's right.
In fact, you better make A pluses. Because you know what frustrates me as a young person who knows they don't have to work as hard as the other one to get the same grade as the other one, but the goal should not be to get the same grade as the other one. The goal should be to do your best. And if you're sharp iron, you should do your best, just like the dull iron has to do their best too. And by the way, that's how he accounts. It's not a matter of, well, I have to cut down as many trees as Brother Dave does. No, I have to cut down double the trees because I have a sharper iron. Amen. That's the way God looks at it. If the iron be sharp, watch this now. I'm not changing the word of God, but I'm just suggesting something to you. How about this? If the iron be sharp, how about put two more strength?
Amen.
Isn't that a good idea? Doesn't that kind of tie in with Scripture about doing everything to the glory of God? Doesn't that tie into Scripture that unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required? Doesn't that tie into giving everything that I have for Jesus Christ? And if the sharp iron and the dull iron is doing the best they can do, guess what? Then we get the job done. If any of us makes an excuse, if any of us sits back and says, well, I'm working, I've gotten twice as much. That's why I don't like unions. You know what we ought to, seriously, when you come to work, you ought to work your hardest, period.
Amen.
Amen. Not some kind of a quota based upon the slowest guy in the building. How about this? We all just go in and we put in our time and we work hard the whole time and we do the best we can do.
Amen.
That's what we need to do. I remember working at RCA and they said, hey, slow down. Slow down. What do you mean slow down? I'm just working. No, you're getting too much done. No, what do you mean I'm getting too much done? Because they'll require it of everybody. You lazy, good for nothing turkey buzzard. Just work. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. Amen. Sunday school teachers, it comes natural to you. Boy, I'm starting to meddle now. I'm on the back page, so you can sigh. But you don't have to study as much as somebody else. Let me ask you a question, though. Okay, because it's natural. You got it. I mean, come on, I taught this lesson before. I taught it several quarters. I know this material pretty well. I don't have to spend as much time studying. Don't have to spend as much time praying. Don't have to spend as much time because I know this material because I'm sharp iron. Let me ask you a question. What if you did? Just perchance, what if you did? What if you did study hard?
Amen.
Wow. You suppose that would help the class? Amen. People say, Pastor, are you nervous when you get up? I'm nervous anytime I'm in the pulpit.
Amen.
I want to be nervous like I was the very first time I ever stood in a pulpit.
Amen.
Whether it's preaching, whether it's singing, no matter what it is, I don't ever want to feel confident because over the years, somehow that iron has been sharper. I want to be as much in tune with God. I've got to have your help. God, I need you. God, please give me your power. Help me to say what you want me to say and not what I want to say, God. I want to preach what you want me to preach, just like I did when I was a new preacher, terrified. I would like Sunday school teachers to do that. Preachers to do that. Piano players to do that. Singers to do that. That's why I hate the word performance. I hate it. I just, let's just get up and sing for Jesus. I hate it when students get that attitude. You settle for the honor roll when you could have had all A's if you'd have just worked harder.
Amen.
But I didn't have to, preacher. I made the good grade. Work harder because of character. The widow who gave her mite, remember, in her mind, it was based on what she had left. Nothing. She gave it all. If the sharp can cut down twice as many, then we obviously, to get the job done, we need the sharp and the dull.
Amen.
Cutting away. If the iron. Number one, if the iron is blunt or dull. Number two, if the iron is sharp. How about this? Number three, what if the iron be sharpened? Well, there's an interesting idea. Yeah, Bible says here, wet the edge. Now it says, do not wet the edge. Then must he put two more strength. But what if the iron is sharpened? What if that edge gets sharper? Wouldn't that be something? What are you talking about, preacher? Well, there's no excuse for us. Are you listening to me? You say, I'm just dull iron. I can only do so much. Well, how about sharpening your iron a little bit? How about sharpening your iron? You say, well, I'm already sharp. Well, how about sharpening your sharp? I want to remind you, write this down, Proverbs 27, verse 17. Excellent verse. We don't believe it. Now, I'm talking about the Sunday night crowd. We don't believe it. Look what it says, Proverbs 27, verse 17. You know it, you've heard it, and you've ignored it. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Iron sharpeneth iron. So if I'm dull iron, if I feel like I'm dull and I want to be sharpened, what am I going to do? I'm going to get sharpened by iron. So I'm going to hang around iron. What did I just say a while ago about singing? What did I do immediately when I joined the choir? I got as close to Craig Pearson as I could get. Amen. I tried to make sure my son was nearby. Sometimes they'll finagle, you know, and they'll get away, and I get over by him. Why? Iron sharpeneth iron. Are you listening? Amen. Well, what could you do? Oh, I could have gotten next to somebody who can't sing at all, so I'd feel good about it. Right? Amen. You know, just find somebody who can't sing and stand near them all the time. Brother Dale. Dale sings all right. We have a deacon ensemble getting ready to sing, so get excited. Iron sharpeneth iron. Amen. You say, I just don't have much Bible knowledge. Well, if you'd quit hanging around Hollywood and soap operas and junk on television and everything else and get around some Bible, amen. You might be able to sharpen up a little bit. I got news for you. You're not going to sharpen yourself spiritually if all you do is play. What if the iron is sharpened? So many people avoid iron. You know, walking with God, reading our Bible, studying the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God. Do you understand? Amusement doesn't sharpen anything. Now, I'm not against amusement. I like to laugh and have a good time. But I'm just saying you, ah means not. Muse means think. Ah, muse means no think. Got it? Amusement is not thinking. Okay? Seriously, while you're destroying Zork bots, you're not thinking. Now again, that's amusement. While you're watching your great football game or whatever it might be, again, you're not thinking. And your TV shows, most of it, you're not thinking. If you're going to sharpen yourself, you're going to have to spend time with those who make you think. And if we can get the dull axe to go from 60 whacks to cut down a tree to 50, hey, we can get a little bit more done, can't we? But watch this. If we could get the dull axe to go from 60 to 50, wow, what if we got the sharp to go from 30 to 20? But iron sharpeneth iron. And we run from iron because we want to look good. People say, you know, Brother Rogers, and the missionaries, it was interesting. You know, we had Dr. Tom Williams and Brother Nias. He said, I got to follow him on Tuesday night. Then Brother Storm said, well, I got to follow you. Everybody loves you, you know. And then Brother Harris, nobody even knows who he is. He's, I got to follow all of you. Years ago, I had preachers come in and missionaries come in. And you know, the question always asked, doesn't that intimidate you? You know, you had Brother Hiles, you had Brother Williams, you had Curtis Hudson. You had isn't that hard to get up and preach the next day? No, because I'm sitting there learning. I'm learning. You know, you go to pastor school and I listen to the greatest preachers in all the world. I heard them all. I heard Lee Robertson. I heard Tom Malone. And these guys are preaching. And somebody said, boy, doesn't that intimidate? No, it sharpens me.
Amen.
It sharpens us. I mean, I could watch some of the preaching you watch on TV and feel real good. Of course, I don't know if anybody here listens to Joyce Meyer anymore. We used to have folks that did. It's okay. Go ahead and breathe. Unbelievable. Unbelievable that any... I don't need to get into that. But you talk about iron sharpeneth iron. Wood doesn't sharpen iron. Neither does butter. I don't care if she talks like a man or not. Look, never mind. I don't want to get into that. Ugh. Anyway, the key is I'm going to do what I can. And then I'm going to try to get sharper. That's it. That's exactly what we need to do, is do what we can and try to get sharper. And can you imagine what, you know, ask God for wisdom. Ask God for help. Ye have not because ye ask not. Ask God for anything. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to grow. It's a sin not to grow. We should not be content with whatever we are. We need to grow. We need to be sharper for Him. And whether we're dull or whether we're sharp, we may have to work harder, but we need to always beg God to sharpen us so we can do more for Him. If the iron be dull, if the iron be sharp, if the iron be sharpened, and then the last thing, number four, 2 Kings 6, verse 4. And that's some here tonight. I think we all fall into one of these categories. Everyone should want to be sharper. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 4. You'll know it immediately when you see it. 2 Kings 6 and verse 4. Here's our last iron. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Now watch this. Number four, if the iron be unusable... I don't know what that is in the water. Maybe it's dull, but it's underwater. It's not cutting down any trees. It could be a sharp axe head that went in the water. I don't know. I just know this. Doesn't matter how sharp it is, right? Because it's underwater. Right? Wait a minute. It could be our third example. It could have just been sharpened. The edge may have just been sharpened and it has gone from 60 to 50. Maybe it's gone from 30 to 20. And it may have just been sharpened. But it doesn't matter, does it? Because it's underwater. What's that mean? That means it will not accomplish anything. It's unusable. That means the job can't get done. According to verse 4, it was used. It was being used. According to verse 5, the Bible says, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed like so many." Amen. Borrowed. Ye are not your own. Whatever I have, any talent, sharp, dull, sharpened, it's not me and it's not mine. It belongs to Him. It has no business being underwater. And verse 6 says, the man of God said, "Where fell it?" You know, that's such a simple thing, isn't it, Brother Korea? I can't cut anymore. I don't have an axe head. I can't. Go back where you lost it.
Amen.
Amen. Go back. Was it a trial? Was it a defeat of some kind? Was it some sort of sorrow, bitterness? Was it yielding to a temptation? Was it some sin in your life? You know, it's kind of like Moses, the bitter waters of Marah. The tree was cast in, and it became sweet. And that's what happened here. The man of God said, "Where fell it?" He showed him the place. He cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. And you know what you need to do? You need to come to the cross and say, "God, I lost my iron. And I want to be used. I just want to be used. Sharp, dull, sharpened. The iron underwater is unusable. Come to the cross." And it says here, verse 7, "Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it." Some of you need to get the iron back. Get busy. Get busy. "Well, I saw that it was dull and I wasn't as doing as much as so-and-so, so I just threw it in the water." Go get it. "I saw that even though I sharpened it, I wasn't appreciated like I should be. And I just threw it in the..." Go get it. "Yeah, but I went through this trial and I was hurt. And so-and-so said something and they hurt me." And excuse after excuse. In the meanwhile, who's going to cut down the trees? Who's going to get the job done? If the iron's dull, work harder. If the iron's sharp, work harder. If the iron's dull or sharp, sharpen it more. And the last thing, if it's underwater, go get it. Get on the altar. Go to the cross. "God, I want you to use me." You know what? If a fella day after day for several months can dig out all those vines out there. And I've talked about it probably 4 times in messages. Because it means that much. What could you do? Let's bow our heads, please. Father, please bless our invitation. We represent all 4 kinds of iron. Tonight it's here in this place. Some are dull in an area and they just have to work harder. I pray they would work harder. Some that are sharp have relaxed. I pray they would work harder. We all need to be sharpened. We all need to grow. We all need to be better for you. Help us to do that. And then I pray, Father, for those that are here that just aren't doing anything anymore. Please, please, please help them to say, "I want it back." Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As the instruments play, "All for Jesus," God speak into your heart. You have a decision to make. You come as the Lord leads. God speak in your heart. You come tonight as the Lord leads.